a little confession that about a month ago, the Lord had asked me to just give him a week of brokenness and putting him first and, you know, not being involved with the things that draw me and that are interesting to me. And I didn't really do that in the manner that I should have. He told me to do it not because of me or but for this body, for this body's sake. And I didn't do that. And I want to repent to you, and I want to tell you that I probably sowed seeds into this fellowship that week that could have really set us forward, and I didn't do it. And and to just be aware that you don't have to yield to the negative seeds that I sowed. I have been before the Lord ever since. But I just want you to first of all, just ask you to forgive me. And then second of all, to please don't give in to those seeds. Give in to your heart for Jesus and your love for Jesus. And we will get back on the timing of the Lord. Amen. I want to do something a little different today. I brought my little speaker, and I'd like to play a song for you. I've never used this speaker in church, and it's through my phone. Let me take a little sip of this here. But before I do that, I want to read out of the book of Ezekiel. And it's Ezekiel 37. It's about the dry bones. And we talked, and we will continue to talk about the fact that this valley of dry bones to God is means that, you know, this is the death he wants. No flesh. No flesh. This is the death he wants. No more flesh. And how much flesh is gone? Well, all the flesh is gone. And, of course, we know only the cross can do that. And for Esther, we know that from peasant girl, slave girl, foreigner to the king, every kind of thing that we would think she's good because she's Jewish and therefore she's, you know, of God. And there's, you know, there's that element, but there's also all the elements that we mix in until we meet the true God, until he starts bringing us into the process that Esther was brought into. And so I want to read Ezekiel 37, beginning with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. And so here we have the hand of the Lord. We have the spirit of the Lord. And we have every sense that what is being presented and what is taking place is of God, even though it looks bad, you know. And I think it looks bad to us when we start getting rid of our flesh. I mean, I think there's something, you know, I think there's things that come into our mind like, am I ever going to have fun again? Or am I, you know, I mean, all kind of just dumb stuff we can't imagine what God has in mind and will bring us into, because we can't imagine that really, really being with God could be that much fun, you know. I mean, and especially when we compare the kind of fun that we call fun to the kind of God that we have known to this point, which is basically religion. So I agree with that, but I don't agree with the thought that it couldn't be a million times better in the Lord and the fulfillment of everything that those things were just shadows and failures. A valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. So they have been letting the sun, you ever heard the phrase, bleach their bones? They've been letting the sun bleach these bones, and all flesh is being removed, and so so they're very dry. But you see, getting rid of the flesh is not the end of it. It's not even the goal. It's in the path. You cannot get to the goal without going through this valley of dry bones. But don't ever think that this dryness is what it's about. It's about Jesus, and it's about being his body, and it's about being his bride and being one with him. Verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he saith unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And so God didn't just say, okay, don't worry. Whether you believe that it can happen or not is not the issue. I'll make them live, and you'll be impressed. He didn't do that, and he doesn't do that, and he's not that way. He says to you, you prophesy over this. You get into faith with me. You get with me. You be with me, and you have my mind and my heart, and proceed with me, or it's not going to happen. It's not. I'm not going to just do something without oneness. I don't work that way, and I'm not going to do it. I want you to be one with me. I died so that you'd be one with me. Then do it. Be it. Believe it. You say, but I'm too bad. I remember I used to witness to my stepfather, the guy that was so cruel to us kids and to my mother. And after I got saved, I used to witness to him, and he'd been in the military. And he just one day said, frankly, he said, the things that I've done, I can never be forgiven for. You know, and you can, you know, you say, well, yes, you can, and da-da-da-da, and all that. And he didn't turn at that point. But eventually I led him to the Lord, and because those things are nothing in the sight of the cross. In the sight of the cross, notice how I worded that. In the sight of the cross, they're just nothing. They just melt like a slug on a hot day or salt poured on it. So he says, you, I think I've quoted it at least once since I've been pastoring this church, but there's a blues song that I like. It says, get with me, baby, I'm on your side. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Okay, so this flesh is, you know, the scriptures tell us that we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We're not just Christians. Can I get amen on that? We're not just Christians. Another drink of Christian juice. Clearly, we're not just Christians. I'm the example that we are sons of God by Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We are his body. We are his temple. We are all things to him. Notice all of those I listed off and more. We're his branches. We're not just branches. We're his branches. And until we begin to recognize the him of the situation, not the him who fixes the situation, but is the answer, God's answer, then we will flounder like a fish out of water, and we'll wonder why this stuff doesn't work. well, this stuff doesn't work. But the cross and union with him does work, will work, shall work, has worked. And so what's settled is going to become faith in us, and what's faith in us will become life. And that's what he's saying. Prophesy first, amen? And it's not just confession, it's getting with him. And of course, we say, we'll just confess it, which means just say it. And if you say it magically, it's going to come about. Oh, I believe in confession, you know. Just say, blab it and grab it, you know. But with God, the very word means to say with. Say with me, you know. Say with me. That's what it means, say with. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to be, instead of being over here and trying to get you to say it, I'm going to get with you and we're going to say it. Amen. And notice that he says, not only shall you live, but you'll know that I'm the Lord, I'm the head. I'm the head, I'm the Lord of this body. This is my flesh. This is my bones. This is no longer yours. It's no longer about you. And for him, his heart is about us. But for us, folks, our heart needs to be always about him. His heart is always about us or the Father or, you know, and our heart needs to come to that too. And Esther didn't fully know that. It took Hegri, the Holy Spirit. I mispronounced it. I mispronounce it every time. The Holy Spirit is the one who breathes the life of the body. And the life of the body is Christ. And he breathes. He doesn't just teach us. Folks, he doesn't just teach us. It's not a matter of being studious. I'm studious. I know stuff, you know. And I study deeper life, and I've sought the Lord. And there have been many a night when everyone else was asleep, I read my Bible. You know, has the breath of God come into you yet? Has the Holy Spirit been breathing life to you? And some of you, I realize where you're at, and I realize my failure and how it sets you back. But I'm after the Lord now, not for myself, but for you and for him. You see, he gives you the freedom for it no longer to be about you, because he's still about you, and he raises up people that will be about you and not themselves, till we all come to the measure of the stature, till we all, how many of us? All come. That's what I want. That's what I'm seeking. That's what I desire. So he says not just that I want you to live, folks. He wants you to live. He wants you to live by his life. He wants you to function as his body. He wants you to have no more of your flesh on his bones, but his, you know. But he also wants you to know that he's the Lord. That he's the Lord. And there was given unto him a name which is above every name. And that he needs to be above our name. That means all that it pertains to us. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Whoa, and behold, a shaking. Ho, a noise and a shaking. Sometimes it's going to get noisy. God's going to move, and it's going to get noisy. Carolyn's going, I don't mind shaking. Just don't make the noise. Just don't make the noise too loud. But that's what it says. That's what it says. And that shaking is going to shake us. It's going to shake what we're familiar with. Everything that can be shook will be shook. But see, we always hear that scripture and we go, no, no, not everything. Yeah, everything. Yeah. Why? Why? So that there'll be stability for you for a change. Not some flaky little half-hearted fence riding, backslidden, lukewarm Christian. But the strength that is Christ, the life that is Christ, the fullness that's Jesus, it is not a doctrine, it is not a teaching, it is not a deeper life, a profound grasp or revelation of profound things. It's the revelation of Christ. It's the revelation of Christ. Part of that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not the revelation that he's in you, or not the revelation that the Bible teaches, oh my God, it's supposed to be Christ in me, but the revelation that Christ, or the fact that God is revealed, Jesus is revealed in you, so that you now begin to proceed and understand that this is him. If you're born again, it's him. You got that. You don't get that at the revelation of Christ. You got that when you were born again. That's called Jesus. Remember Mary, pregnant? Mother Mary was pregnant. And she's going, what's going on? What's happening in me? You know, they're wondering what to name it. And the Holy Spirit says, you call that thing Jesus. Don't call it Christianity. Don't call it you saved. Call it Jesus. Jesus. Say with. Don't say. Say, just you saying it is going to make you a carnal Christian. It is. It will. Because you'll say stuff that you think that the magic will kick in one day. Because I'm using the magic words. I'm saying words, you know. But, you know, it says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Well, confess with your mouth means to say what he says. And to believe in your heart means to believe in your heart. That's deep. But we keep, you know, we keep wondering what the problem is and wondering why I'm not further along and wondering why things aren't happening and wondering what our destiny and future is going to be on this road. It doesn't look good or whatever. You know, we keep wondering, like I say, what the problem is. Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. He's hiding in your mirror. Yeah, he's hiding in there. You want to see him? Go over there and look. He's hiding in there. It's you. You're the problem because you still believe it's you. You still believe it's about you. You still believe that Jesus is your best friend or your helper, or he's your, you know, he's going to be something that Israel had or that they had when Jesus walked the earth. And behold, he made all things new in his resurrection. And it's new relationship, and it's new this, and I will be in you, and I will, you know, he said all these things. I will put my heart in you, and well, you know, that's the new covenant, but how many of us have his heart in us? You know? Well, theologically, yes, but it's not, you know, you can't live off of theology, trust me. It's like dry crackers and nothing to drink. It really doesn't work, you know? And that's what, you know, I mean, just seriously, from my own heart to you, I want Jesus. I really want Jesus. And I want him for you too. And I want us to have Jesus together. And that's what I wanted when this thing first started. In my living room and all the progression all the way up. And I'll admit, I didn't know as much as I do now. And I hope that, you know, in 5 years, I'll know more. And in 10, I surely will, because I'll be with the Lord. Because I'll see him face to face. Anyway, let's finish reading this stuff. Verse 7, So I prophesied, and I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. All right. So, folks, getting rid of the flesh is going to bring the bones together. Do you understand what that means? We're this valley of dry bones. And the body of Christ is not a bunch of individual bones. The thigh bone is connected to the hip bone, and and there's supposed to be a connection, but the body of Christ, for the most part, lives separately. Well, why? Why do we live separately? Well, because we live in America and there are different houses and da da da. No, do we live that way? Because everybody's got their own flesh. And so he doesn't just want all of us to have individual life. He wants us to come together. And he wants us to know who's the Lord. Verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Okay, so we think when we come together and when we're, you know, because we don't have the issues of flesh, then God's happy because we're coming together. Where's Christ? Where's the life? Where's him? You know, and people preach unity all the time. The body needs to come together. Well, you can bring the bones together. If you don't fill it with Christ, you got nothing. There was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, prophesy, baby. Come on. Do you get the spirit, how that sounds? It's saying, come on, prophesy, prophesy under the wind, prophesy, son of man, prophesy. Let's start saying with, let's start getting something stirred up within us that will move into faith, that will move into lifestyle. And say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Slain. That's the work of the cross. You say, well, once you're slain, there's no more flesh. Once you're dead at the cross, there's no more flesh. Well, there is. You ever heard of the concept of burial? Do you know what burial's for? Yeah, to put away the flesh, the dead flesh, until it's gone. And one day you can dig it up and go, the flesh is gone. Well, that's the purpose of the cross. It's death, burial, and resurrection. Did you anybody ever hear those three little kinships hanging out together? We go death and resurrection. You know, my flesh comes up. You know, I look like a zombie. I got life. Give me a hug, brother. Come here, sister. And you're going, zombie boy, take a hike. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I'm dead. I'm just the walking dead. That's all. But I'm dead. And he's going, I would like you to be dead enough where you can't walk. No walking dead. Okay. I want you dead enough, long enough, buried enough till there's no flesh, so there's no sinew, so you can't get up. And then I'm going to put all that is me on you, and you shall live. But you have to want Jesus more than you. Amen? Verse 10, so I prophesied as commanded me. Okay, so you've been commanded. Yes. Start saying with. Oh, yeah. Are you going to prophesy as was commanded you?
Yes.
Are you going to start saying what God says instead of saying, you know, what your feelings feel? or, you know. Verse 11, then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones of the whole house of Israel, behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we're cut off on our part. So that's us when we start losing our flesh because we don't feel like we don't live in one world or the other world. We don't live in the world of the flesh and we don't live in the world of life. So it's like, well, what is this? Purgatory? No, it is the next step to being filled with the life of Christ. Okay? It is spiritual, not, you know, compartmental. If you understand what I mean when I say that. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, meaning the promised land, meaning the place where it's based on promise, not goodness. And you shall know that I am the Lord. There it is again. I'm telling you, people, we need to really realize who's the head. We need to really actually realize that Jesus is the head of what? See, he's the head of the body. He's not the head of the corporation. He's not the head of Christianity. Not the head of the religion. Do y'all understand what that's saying? He's not the head of anything except the body, his body. Be his body. Quit being just a Christian trying to serve his religion by going to building and reading book and folding hands and saying things into the air at night or whatever. Prayer. But find the him of this thing. Find the Jesus of this thing. Find it. Find him. Find him. Find him. Get up. Get out of the bed. Go through the door. Go out into the streets like in the Song of Solomon and find him. It doesn't say, well, just wait. You know, Jesus didn't just say to her, just wait right there. You know, and I'll be back. You know, it doesn't say that. He goes, if you want me, you're going to have to find me. If. And that's an important little phrase there. Verse 13, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. You're going to know he's the Lord when you start acting like his body, when you start acting like him, when you start acting like this Jesus. My identity is you. My identity is not me. I hate my identity. Well, that ain't enough. You can slap yourself around all day. Well, I hate that. You know, because isn't the Holy Spirit at work kind of identifying junk that's wrong in us? I mean, kind of showing, going, that ain't the Lord, you know. You know. And so we can just react, go, well, I hate that, you know. Folks, when you look in the mirror, the Bible says it's supposed to be the mirror of the Word where you see his face, not yours. You need to quit being separate. That last slap was pretty good, actually. It really was. My neck kind of... Okay. Verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. My spirit isn't just talking here about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the spirit of the body, which is Christ. He's the head, and his spirit and life flow and fill. Okay, so to comprehend the Lord, you have to think in terms of flow and fill, not do and, you know, whatever. Flow and fill. You have to plug in. Flow and fill only happens with plug in. Sorry, I'm using weird terms. They're probably not scriptural. But the truth is scriptural. And that is, it's not the law. Therefore, it's not how much you do or how little negative things you do. Because you'll do that as long as you're alive. So you have, there has to be an embrace of the cross, and you embrace that cross unto the burial, and the burial removes the flesh, and then he brings up, because he's not just looking for dry bones. Oh, I just love dry bones, you know. No, he's looking for something that doesn't have any more life that's not him, not any more flesh that's not him. And once he's got that, then he fills it, and he flow, and there's a flow, but those bones, and that's what he said, you know, prophesy unto these bones. And those bones have to plug into the to that which is life, the source of life, and is the life. It's the Jesus is the source of life, but he's the life source. He's the source, and he is that life that you get. So you go to him as the source, and you plug into him, and then there's an, and you see, there's not a, at that time, there's not a fight in the, this sense. There's not a fight, you know, well, there's the, you know, I mentioned the yin and the yang or whatever, you know, where it's these two different things, and they're, you know, going round and round fighting and all this kind of stuff. It's not that when his life comes in, there's a big fight. If you have gone through the cross and the burial, then you're just dry bones that get filled with life. Then it's just Christ filling you. It's not about you still putting up the fight. If you're still putting up the fight, there's a good chance you haven't, number one, been slain. Remember, these guys were slain at the cross. And number two, because many are slain, many receive the cross. Yes, the death of the cross. I believe in the death of the cross. I believe that I'm crucified with Christ. I believe that, you know, one died for all are dead. Well, good, great. But, you know, I look at you and I see flesh hanging off of you. There has to be a burial. And burial takes time to get the flesh off the bones, the dry bones that we're talking about here in Ezekiel. Burial takes time. I don't think my thing's still lit here, so if I wanted to play this song. I do want to do a song. Hello. The name of the song is Can You Do Without? Can you do without? And the theme is built around these words that he starts with, and he'll say several different times, but it's built around, there's a little three or four sentence theme here that he has. In times of trouble, we decide what we need, what we take with us, and what we leave. Meaning in the crisis, we make decisions. Remember last week we talked about Lot and Abram, and they both made decisions. I don't know if that was Sunday or I don't know where. Was it Sunday? Praise God. And they made decisions in times of trouble, and boy, the different decisions that they made affected their whole life after that, because in crisis, sometimes we choose what we think we need instead of what we need. So, in times of trouble, we decide what we need, what we take with us, and what we leave. And how much of your answers can be believed? Nothing's going to save you if you're deceived. How much of your answers can be believed? Because in that crisis, are you Lot or are you Abraham? And then I just picked out, that it's a great song, and it goes through, Can You Live Without? And starts naming off all this stuff. And I just picked out a few choice ones, but there's a bunch of them on here. Can you live without shopping when you get paid? Can you live without having someone to blame? Can you live without the loser of your game? Meaning if somebody, you're playing this game, you put them through this game, and they're the loser. So you can live without them, huh? I mean, that's how you determine. You know, if they can't play your game, then they're out. Can you live without knowing exactly who you are? And most people do. Did you ever doubt you'd have your house on a hill? Can you live without all the folks who never will? Meaning you got what you want, so I don't have to even give another thought to them. Can you live without cashing in on your fame? Meaning, should be clear, whatever you got, using it for your advantage. And then he just says at one point, can you live without? Can you live without anybody there at all? He goes through, can you live without this, can that person this, or whatever. Then he goes, can you live without there being anybody there at all? And folks, if you're going to follow Jesus, there's going to be times when there's nobody there at all. I mean, even if people are all around you, there's going to be times that you're going to have to just live unto the Lord. Can you live without living by degrees, meaning ordering everything according to what you will give or take or release, just degrees of certain things? So can you live without living by degrees? Can you live without doing exactly as you please? So I, like I said, I've never done this before. This could start loud or not. And I may have restarted here.
In times of trouble, we decide that we need what we take with us, what we leave, and how much of your answers can be believed. Nothing gonna save you if you're deceived. Can you live without water for 5 days? Can you live without shopping when you get big? Can you live without having someone to blame? Can you live without the loser of your game? Exactly who you are, did you ever doubt you had your house on the hill? Can you live without all the folks who never will? Can you live without your dope, whatever it might be, Kind Bud or Budweiser? It works the same for me. Can you live without the whisper in your ear? Cashing in your fingers without her, the slick of your money. Can you live without her? Oh, you're running out of time. Can you live without her? Cause that's the way it's played out. Can you live without her? Can you live without her? Thank you.
star that no one sees. Can you live without living by degrees? Can you live without doing exactly as you please? In times of trouble, we decide what we need. When we take with us what we leave. And how much of your answers can be believed? Nothing gonna save you if you're deceived.
What do you think? All right, let's turn to the book of Esther. We're just beginning. No, we're not. The book of Esther, chapter 2. I want to just share just a slight bit here. Esther chapter 2, and let's look at verse 8 and 9. We've been on the book of Esther every Sunday morning now. What is this, the fourth or fifth time? Fourth time in a row. And so it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness from him, and he speedily gave her ointments for beautification with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens who were suitable to be given her out of the king's house. And he removed her and her maidens unto the best place of the house of the women. Well, this is the decree. So Xerxes or Ahasuerus is the king, and Vashti has completely failed as bride, though she might have been a good queen. And therefore, there was a removal of her. And so the plan was, as Kelly shared this morning, the ministers, those who ministered unto the king, that's the wording, those who ministered unto the king knew the king's heart, and they said, let's make a decree. Let's make this more than just a palace thing. Let's make this worldwide. Let's make it universal. Let's send out messengers all over the place and say, the king, the king has blessed you, the king has done this, the king has done that, but now it's our time. The king wants a bride for himself. He wants that which is after his kind. You say, well, I'm a man, so how do I know if I'm a bride? If you're after his kind, if his nature is in you. And so the decree goes out. And so there's this, so what do you see? You see this is a type and shadow. So you see that there's this whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, which was 124 provinces from India all the way to Babylon. and all of these places, they're under the king. They're under his protection. They're, got all of the benefits of being part of that kingdom. But all of a sudden, there's a change in relationship to the kingdom. All of a sudden, there is this decree that goes out that says, hey, the message now is the king wants a bride. Okay, so that begins to go and spread out. And it spreads to whom? It spreads to the people. It spreads to all of the people that are in that kingdom. And from that group, there is gathered to the palace a large group of people. Okay. Now, if you remember how we started this, and I started it by sharing in Ireland, we call this the progression of the church to the bride. And in that sharing, those two sharings that I did in Ireland that most of you have listened to, we noted the fact that the church began in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, and Jesus was in the center, and Jesus was kind of Jesus looking. I mean, he was Jesus, basically. We saw Jesus there, and he was in the midst, okay? And he's in the midst of the churches. Okay, so we say, hey, praise God, you know, Jesus is in the center of our church. You know, Jesus is central in our teaching and in what we have to say. Jesus, you know, Jesus is. But that wasn't enough. And John saw that when he was in the Lord's day, just like Ezekiel. Ezekiel and John were both in the Lord's day, and they saw something, but what they saw was not what God wanted yet and had to be caught up. They had to be awakened to something greater. Okay, so in Esther and in John, John is awakened, and a window is open, or a door is open in heaven, and a voice has come up here, and I will show you things, what's really going to come, not future events on the earth. I'm going to show you what's going to come above. Okay? And so one of the first things he sees is, for the first time, it's not Jesus with a beard and with sandals and all this kind of stuff that's seen from above. It's a slaughtered lamb on the throne. And I should have, again, brought my picture and shown it up there. But it's a slaughtered lamb on the throne. Okay? And they're worshiping the lamb, but it's a great multitude, which it says of these women, a great multitude were brought together. Now, you remember, if you did listen to those sessions that I had, that we saw a progression through the book of Revelation in chapter 5, which is just the beginning of being caught up out of the church into the Lamb being the focal point. We move quickly halfway through the book, and we're in chapter 14. And in chapter 14, all of a sudden, the number's been reduced. It's 144,000. Remember, it's not about the numbers. It's about the fact that things are coming down in smaller number. And so in that number, but that 144,000, they know a song that nobody else knows, and it's about the Lamb. And they also are they that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Okay? But they're still not one with the Lamb. They're followers of the Lamb. They're not just worshipers in chapter 5. Now they're followers wherever he goes. How many Christians have really laid hold of that? I mean, when you talk about that, you're talking pretty much the burial is over and the flesh is off the bones. If you're going to follow him wherever he goes, come on, ain't no flesh on the bones, okay? You have successfully made it through death and burial, but it doesn't happen until the end, and down in the end, then all of a sudden, what the angel says to John, have you seen the wife of the Lamb, the bride, the wife of the Lamb? Have you seen her? And he goes, no. No. He kind of goes, you know, I'll tell you what I've seen. He doesn't do this, but some of us who are talkative might say this. Oh, I'll tell you what I have seen. I've seen some great stuff. I've seen the churches and Jesus in the midst of the church. And then, of course, I saw him then outside the church knocking to get back in. But then I saw God move and open a door in heaven and say, come up here, and got up there. And I saw thousands upon thousands and ten thousands of ten thousands before the throne of the Lamb, worshiping not Jesus of Nazareth, but the Lamb slaughtered. And then I saw, and I continued in the word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then I saw that this thing wasn't just about worshiping the Lamb and saying, you know, that self-giving spirit is really the most wonderful, it's the highest thing, and all of us should worship that, because there's nothing like that Lamb, that small crucified Lamb. and it's worthy of all praise. And we all worship, and we all were overtaken with the seeing finally what it is that's the height of this thing. And then we moved on, and later I saw a smaller group, and that group was following the Lamb wherever that he wanted to go, and they were committed to this Lamb and this Lamb way. Anybody remember anything like that on Thursday when I was sharing on commitment to life out of death? It's the same thing. Anyway, whether you were here or not, it's not important. And so the angel says, my question was, have you seen the bride, the wife of the Lamb? I don't care what you've seen up to this point. I don't care. It doesn't matter. And I am, you know, he could say, I am speaking on behalf of the Lamb. Everything was fine. It's necessary. There's a progression. It's needed. But you need to get the message from the palace, from Shushan. And you hadn't got it yet. Okay, so here you had the same picture in Esther. I just went through the book of Revelation because that's how we began. Here you got the same picture in the book of Esther. You've got the kingdom or the church and all of the people that are part of the church, 124 provinces, you've got that. But then there's a progression, and then there's a gathering to the palace, to the king. And it's a large multitude, right? We don't know. I doubt if it was exactly 144,000, but it was a lot of women, okay? And they were there for bride business, but they were not bride yet. They were there to find out or to have developed in them, do they have a bride heart? Okay? Can you see that? Certainly in the case of Esther, but I believe in every one of them. The case was, you are being brought here to follow the Lamb, to find out what he's like, to see his movements, and to understand where his movements come from. They come from his heart. And to discover him, not his ways. Okay. And in that process, whoever does will become bride. There's the end of the book of Revelation. And also the end of the book of Esther, basically. Right? Do you see that? See it? It's this huge, vast number of people that you couldn't even count. And then it's brought down to all of these ones in verse 8. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree were heard, when it was heard, when they heard the king's decree of his heart, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Haggai. So here it is. There is this gathering with purpose. There is this, those who received the message, those who knew something in them said, you know, not everybody, not every woman, not every single woman out there was gathered. But those who responded and said, I want to know him. I want it to be more than what it is right now. Well, to do that, you're going to have to leave your home. You're going to have to leave your friendships. We're not talking about being bride. You have to do that just to become potential bride. Those are qualifications. He ain't gonna fool around if there's a, you know, I want to, can I stay an extra week before everybody, you know, I mean, after everybody's there, you know, I got this party and my friends are going to come and all this stuff. He's not going to put up with that. If you can't be found there in her, then it's just not there. You don't go, but I hoped. No, you go, it's just not there. You just face up to it. See? But those who move, who are moved, they're moved by something in them. And see, it's not always an explanation in your head. It's usually something from the heart. Yes. But I am moved towards Him. I am moved. You say, somebody who's very academic in their approach of this stuff might say, well, but is that a bride heart in me, or is that the, you know, is that the, you know, at this stage, I mean, my God, we're only in chapter 2 of Esther, you know. At this stage, don't get into the semantics of it. Just recognize, is this something in me that I sense from the Lord toward Him? And if it is, go. Go for it. You say, but it's ever so small, and I'm ever such a poor boy or poor girl. You know, just go. Stop worrying about, you know, you would probably say, well, I still have flesh on my bones. I would assume so. I think this process is this that you go through is not just a process of getting rid of flesh, but it's also a process of developing your heart towards Him. Because you don't just get rid of flesh. Come on. You do it for Jesus. You know? You do it for the Lord. I'll do this for Jesus. I wouldn't do this for anybody else, but I'll do it for Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Well, I'm being signaled. How much? 2 minutes? 3 minutes. All right. Well, did you enjoy my song?
Yes.
Some of you are going, I didn't enjoy it at all. You're singing my number. I love that song. I love what it does to me. I love the effect that it has on me. It humbles me, and it brings tears to my eyes, and it makes me want Jesus so much more. So let's stand together, and we'll just pray.